From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fourth day of July 2019. Happy Independence Day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. The markets are closed. Coming up, we'll dive into a startup company called Tillable. I talked to their CEO. His name is Corbett Cool. I asked him just exactly what the company does.
So Tillable is a farmland rental marketplace. So the farmland rental market in the United States is a $32 billion a year market. 40% of all farmland in the U.S. is rented. And in Illinois, over 60% of all farmland is rented. So we're trying to match landowners with great farmers and try to help make sure that landowners get fair market value for their farmland.
As a startup, I assume you see yourself as a disruptive technology. What's the aim?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it's disruptive. One of the biggest challenges facing landowners is they don't know what fair market value is from a rental standpoint for their farmland. There aren't great data sources, and some of the data can be either sparse or not super reliable. So yes, USDA publishes, rental averages. I think University of Illinois also publishes some data as well. But we still see that landowners aren't exactly sure what their land is worth. You know, not all farms are created equal, right? And there can be a lot of variability from farm to farm. So what we're trying to do is help landowners understand what their farm is worth, number one. And then number two, expose farms to a large pool of growers that might be looking to expand their operations and basically create a match between a farm and a farmer that is as ideal as possible.
So land leases over time tend to be long-term. How much of a market do you think there might be for Tillable itself? I mean, in meaning, how many landowners actually are looking for a new tenant or thinking about a new cash rent rate?
So a lot of landowners, I would say, at least half of the landowners every year have questions about, are they charging the right amount? Is it too much? Is it too little? And in the absence of data, it's very difficult for them to know. As far as like a new tenant on a farm, by our estimates, every year, 10 to 15% of the farmland could be looking for a new tenant. And in that particular case, it's not only understanding what is the farm worth from a rental standpoint, but who are the growers in my area that might be interested in renting my farm. And then also, if you can imagine a remote landowner, so let's say a landowner living in Chicago that owns, let's say, a farm down near Champaign. That landowner may not be super plugged into the local community. And especially in those cases, we can really help those landowners out and find the right grower for their farm.
Well, let's delve into this in the two pieces I think you have defined for me. One is that there will be a pool of farmers available and they might be able to sign up for that. I'll come back to that in just a second. But first, what are the available bits of data that you'll be providing so that landowners have an idea of what their farm might be worth as it is related to cash rent or rental values?
Well, first and foremost, we try to educate landowners about their particular farm and looking at the productivity of the land and any other unique aspects. You know, let's say a landowner might have some grain storage on their land that would make it, very attractive as well. But, I would say on average, it's really looking at the soil productivity or the soil types that they have on their farm and how that soil productivity compares to the county average. So in talking to a number of landowners, We have found that a lot of landowners are, you know, they may be vaguely aware of, like, is my farm a good farm or a bad farm, but they don't really have data to back it up. And we will help them understand, hey, your farm is, you know, at the county average or better than the county average or worse than the county average from a soil productivity standpoint. So really trying to educate them there first on their particular farm. We will look at USDA published data. We will look at whatever data may be published by University of Illinois or other universities. And then we also have our marketplace data for the counties where we already have farms. We know what those farms are renting for in an environment where you've got a more efficient market taking place. So we take all of that data, pull it together, and give landowners what we call a farm checkup to help them understand, are they in what we would consider kind of the strike zone of where they should be rent-wise for that county and for their particular farm. And if they are, great, you know, it gives them peace of mind and they can kind of go on about their way. We do that for free of charge. If they're not and they want to put their land on tillable, we can make sure that they're going to get, you know, what we consider to be fair market value for their farmland. So it's really, you know, first and foremost, kind of educating the landowners about their particular farms. And then secondly, trying to give them the tools to make sure that not only are they getting fair market value, but their land's being properly cared for.
And on the farmer side, what are you offering?
So on the farmer side, we're giving farmers access to more farmland to rent. So one of the biggest problems facing farmers is if I'm a farmer and I'm looking to expand my operations, where do I find more land to rent? Where do I find landowners? So I call this kind of the coffee shop problem, right? You're the victim of, you know, it, the day that you happen to walk into the coffee shop, is there a landowner there that is looking for a farmer? And we just don't think that's a very efficient process. You know, either for the grower or for the landowner. So with having land listed on a digital platform like Tillable, multiple growers can see what land is available in their area, what the distance that farm is from their home base of operation, what attributes that farmland may have, everything from soil productivity, what capital improvements have been made to the land? What does the drainage look like? We may have tile maps. We may have satellite imagery. We may have drone footage. We may have prior yield maps for a farm. And all of that information can help a grower make a more informed decision about, number one, is this a farm that they're interested in farming? And number two, what does the farmer think fair market value would be for that farm for his particular operation? Because what one farmer thinks is fair market value versus another farmer could be radically different for a variety of reasons. It could be everything from location, you know, how far away the farm is from a farmer's home base of operation, to size, to whatever crop is being grown on that field may or may not be of interest to the grower. So really trying to make it a more transparent way to find farmland and provide more information to the farmer so that they can make a more informed decision about, is this a farm they should be interested in?
Would Tillable be a third-party signatory to the lease?
It depends. So in the case where Tillable is just being used by the landowner to you know, run price discovery and find a farmer, et cetera. No, we're not a party to that lease. In the case where we make a hassle-free lease offer to a landowner, then Tillable becomes the lessee of the land, and then we put the land on the platform, and then we sublease it out to a farmer. So it really depends on the type of relationship that Tillable has with the landowner that determines, you know, who is actually on the lease.
Does that bring the farmland investor into the mix? I see that listed on your website.
Well, the farmland investors have, believe it or not, a lot of the same challenges that small landowners do. So, you know, strictly speaking, the services that we're providing to farmland investors are, you know, a better way to manage a large pool of farmland because we perform electronic leases. We have all the growers and landowners sign electronic leases. And then we also collect payments electronically through the platform, and we help collect data from the grower back to the landowner through the platform as well. So for farmland investors, the big advantage that they see in using Tillable is really it's a digital platform to help them manage farmland at scale that, you know, we like to say a lot of farmland management is kind of trapped in the 1950s, and we think that using digital tools and more automated processes can help decrease the amount of overhead in managing that farmland.
Okay, so as I see it, and I think there are three things that you're doing, but maybe there are more, maybe there are less. So you're a platform in which landowners and farmers can find each other. Is there a cost for that if they just use you in that way?
Yeah. So the way that works is we charge the landowner 2% of the rent, and we charge the grower 2% of the rent if they use us as kind of a matchmaking or finding service.
The landowner can list their property through you. Let's take that back. The landowner can turn over the leasing process to you, and then you're able to compile all of that property and find land, then find farmers to farm that land. What is the cost there on both ends?
Yeah, in that particular case, the grower would continue to pay 2%, and then the relationship between Tillable and the landowner is a little bit different. We will pay that landowner in advance of the upcoming season, either 1 year or up to 3 years right now. And the landowner just gets paid what we think fair market value is, minus our take rate, minus whatever financing costs we have on our side. So in that particular case, it's not an easy fee number to answer because we do a predicted rent and we pay the landowner out in advance of the upcoming season.
Right. So essentially you have an agreement with the farmer, but the lease payment that you give to the landowner may be different entirely than that agreement.
Yeah, it could be. And the advantage for the landowner is they are paid in advance. They don't have to worry about commodities price fluctuations. They don't have to worry about the tariff situation. They don't have to worry about the creditworthiness of the grower. Tillable takes on all of that responsibility and risk. And that's part of the reason why we call it our hassle-free lease, because the landowner gets paid up front, and they just don't have any of the same concerns that they would have today. And then our responsibility back to the landowner is we make sure that that land is properly being properly taken care of through soil sampling, keeping track of the fertilization that's being done on the farmland, and just general farming practices. So really trying to make it very easy for the landowners and eliminate a lot of the worry that they've had in the past.
And then for the farmland investors, Tillable becomes the farm manager in a similar fashion?
Yeah, Tillable really becomes kind of a SaaS platform for the investor, farmland investor, or we've even had some farm managers come to us honestly and say, hey, you know, we love what you guys are doing at Tillable. We would like to use the platform as kind of an electronic tool to make it easier for us to manage a lot of farmland. So, yeah, in that particular case, we really become a software as a service, and they use us just as a tool that they use in doing their job. And they can, choose to use the marketplace of growers or just keep their existing growers in that particular case, and they're just using us like a software tool.
Yeah, so for producers who are not used to SaaS or a SaaS as a platform, large companies use this in order to help manage all kinds of things. Places like Kraft and others are always in the midst of using these kind of programs.
Yeah, and I apologize for throwing some lingo around there, but yeah, it's really, I see a lot of benefit. Let's just talk about payments for a second. So whether it's on the grower side, or let's say it's on the ag investor side, if it's not uncommon for a professional ag investor to own, let's say, a few hundred farms, right? Even the collection of payments, making sure that you get the checks, were the checks on time, did the checks get lost, et cetera. Having a platform that can collect the payments electronically, and then also for the grower, it's a lot easier to be able to send your payments in electronically and know that they got to the intended recipient on time. We've had a number of large growers tell us that, hey, I manage, let's say, 100 leases, leading up to March 1st every year is kind of a big pain for them because it's, a bookkeeping nightmare. They're writing a lot of checks, making sure that they get the right check in the right envelope. Tillable can eliminate a lot of that that concern and complexity.
And finally, can you tell me a little bit about the history of the company, where did you come from, and how it developed?
Yeah, so my background is I grew up in Southern Illinois in a small town called Lawrenceville, basketball powerhouse, back in the 70s and 80s. I went to school at Rose Holman in Terre Haute, and I'm an electrical engineer. I got into agriculture 7-8 years ago when I started a company called 640 Labs. And 640 Labs was acquired by Climate Corporation, and at the time was a division of Monsanto. Now that's Climate is a division of Bayer after the acquisition of Monsanto by Bayer. I got the idea for Tillable when a friend of mine inherited a farm from his grandmother, and he called me up asking me for assistance in how does he manage this farm, and he was just talking to me about some of the challenges that he personally was facing, and that really kind of opened up my eyes to, number one, how big the farmland rental space is, number two, how important renting farmland is not only for landowners, but also for growers, right? I mean, without all the rented farmland, let's say in Illinois, farming as we know it would be way different. And then also just, on the pricing side and access to growers, landowners don't know for sure what their land is worth from a rental standpoint, and they may not know or have a long list of growers that might be interested in renting their farmland. So it's really just an accidental conversation that happened between myself and a friend who inherited a farm, and that's how I got interested in it. And I just thought, gosh, the year's 20, well, at the time the year was 2017, but today is 2019. It's kind of hard to believe that there can be a $32 billion a year market in the United States that really has not had much technology introduced to it. And I thought, wow, this could be a really interesting business to start and solve problems not only for landowners, but also for growers.
We've been talking with Corbett Cool here on the Closing Market Report for this fourth day of July. He is the CEO of Tillable. You can find them online at tillable.com.
I'm Todd Gleason for University of Illinois Extension. 225 years ago, our forefathers declared sovereignty when 56 men of the American colonies signed the Declaration of Independence. It was drafted by Thomas Jefferson between June 11 and June 28 of 1776. What Jefferson did was to summarize self-evident truths and to set forth a list of grievances against the king in order to justify before the world the breaking of ties between the colonies and Great Britain. What follows is an excerpt of the beginning and ending of the United States Declaration of Independence. Jefferson wrote, in Congress, July 4, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. A prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experiences have shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of the intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Excerpts from the Declaration of Independence. If you'd like to read an entire transcription of the document, visit the National Archive online. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.